Hello everyone, I'm George Myland. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. This is about the effect of the Iran war on the United States of America. So it's been just over 3 weeks now. President Donald J. Trump at one stage suggested it go on for about 5 weeks. So obviously, I wish it never started, which ends today. But if please God, it doesn't go on more than the further fortnight, I want more people to be saved, not so many people to be needlessly killed. So the effect obviously is to make his already low approval rating go even lower. And obviously impacting the broader Republican Party, of which he is patently the most visible figure. And Republican politicians, they've been rather shy in denouncing the war, and not that many have been vociferous in favor of this illegal war of unprovoked aggression, Lindsey Graham being one of the exceptions. They recognize as unpopular. Only about 30% of Americans approve of the war, over 50% disapprove, and they're the waverers, or those who are just neutral. But the longer it drags on, as casualties mount, more people will move to the against column, and so on. So remember, the Republican base is about 40% of the population, and that 30% that's in favor of the war, not all of them are Republican. Some of them are independents. A few are Democrats, mostly sort of the ultra-Zionist hawks and so forth. So they're feeling the economic pain already, and it's only going to get worse. Remember, outside about the sort of five major conurbations, there's almost no public transport. You've got to have a car to get to work. Americans often have huge houses, means a lot of heating in the winter, a lot of air conditioning in the summer. And so sort of use more energy per capita than almost any other country in the world. Qatar is one of the few that's ahead of it. Ironically, places rich in liquid natural gas, someone has been struck by Iran and used to have amicable relations with Iran till not long ago, but hosts a United States military base. So, and the effect is obviously going to make the Republican Party even more unpopular, is going to really queer the pitch for the midterm elections. This first Tuesday of November is going to make it more difficult for J.D. Vance to be elected president in 2028. And remember, he's way out in front of the possible nominees to carry the Republican standard into that party. So sort of a gift to the Democrats, yeah, who being dovish or being whatever, more left-wing or opposed to military adventures can say this is bad. And it exposes all Trump's cognitive disabilities, his optimism bias, his flagrant mendacity, his tendency to pivot from one position to another. He changes his mind several times a day. Does he have a mind? I mean, that's how blatantly mindless he is. So he's always undercut his position by changing his mind about what the objective is. If you said it was that more limited objective, the degradation of their military, well, you know, that's already been achieved. But degradation to what level? And is it really measurable? I mean, what is the metric? Is it troops killed? Is it number of missiles launches blown up or what? In terms of getting rid of all their enriched uranium, no, on that they failed. Regime, he's signally failed. And even he's not talking about that right now. Even his chum, who the Trump whisperer, who bent his ear, persuaded him to do it, Benjamin Netanyahu, says that the Iranian government is not going to be overthrown without a ground invasion, which would require hundreds of thousands of troops. And there's no appetite for that. I don't know a single person who's advocating for that. So I suspect it will make the United States more circumspect, saying, you know, here we go again. You know, Iraq was fairly well planned, certainly well planned in comparison to this. Yeah, there were difficulties. But when you take over a medium-sized country, something like 25 million people, is obviously not going to be easy when people have been steeped in pro-Ba'athist propaganda for decades and so forth, and Iran was sponsoring those Shia militias and all the rest of it. The United States, I would suspect, would be a bit more cautious in future, calling European NATO countries cowards. Well, I'd rather be a coward than a fool. All right, cowards stay alive. I mean, it's not cowardly to avoid a totally avoidable war, is it? I mean, it's not cowardly to live. It's not cowardly to be unaggressive and so on. It's cowardly of Trump to fail to take responsibility and so forth. It's cowardly of him not to face up to the truth about this debacle that he's causing on purpose and so on, that he didn't think seconds of steps, that, you know, he didn't try and forecast the Iranian reaction to things like that. So it might push them more towards developing their own civilian nuclear energy further, a little bit renewables and so on. So it's really playing into the hands of the Democrats and the Trump cult exposed for what it is, fragmenting the MAGA coalition. Remember, Trump, he campaigned repeatedly on this explicit promise that there will be no war against Iran. He openly disowned these ideas of these overseas wars, So no more forever wars in the Middle East and so on. This war was supposedly won, a 12-day war in June last year and so forth. So and it might actually lead to America valuing its allies a bit more, thinking we need to coalesce. We need to treat them with a modicum of respect, to bring them on board, to talk them around to our position, to make some concessions to their concerns about things like this, which is why nobody's writing to the rescue. So he's demanding all these countries help keep the Straits of Hormuz open. They're saying, no, 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 absolutely not. Nuh-uh, no, nay, never. You cause the problem. You have to solve the problem and so on. Now, actually, they might in time do it, because how do you reopen the Straits of Hormuz? It's either repression or concession. So you might have to say, you know, have a warship sailing there, willing to protect ships in a convoy to fire more at Iran. It might obviously have to be what you're doing something for Iran, as in saying loosening sanctions, lifting sanctions altogether, a promise never to attack them, never to invade them, saying we're not, you're not going to try to bring about regime change, stuff like that, unfreezing their assets abroad, and so on. So what could be done for Iran? These are all the concessions that could be made. It wouldn't be beyond my ken to think that Trump might suddenly decide that this guy's his best buddy. Okay, this new Grand Ayatollah, the supreme leader, Khamenei, Mojtada Khamenei, and let's have a diplomatic démarche, actually meet him probably in neutral ground, somewhere like, you know, Turkey or Switzerland, like he did with Kim Jong-un, to achieve a diplomatic breakthrough and get more Iranian oil and gas in the market, reopen the Straits of Hormuz, lower the price, something like that, draw them away from Russia, cut off any support to Russia in this Ukraine war. But, you know, I think Trump is not bright enough to achieve that. Plus, he'd be seen as a traitor by the Zionist lobby and so on. Iran's been so incessantly demonized for decades. It'd be a very hard sell to his own base. But, I mean, I couldn't believe it. The Republican Party forgave him for his fawning over Kim Jong-un, perhaps the most sadistic communist tyrant on earth. So, yeah, the United States is going to be more wary of these overseas military adventures and so on. Remember, he's got up to 60 days to complete this military mission without congressional authority. And, you know, how many days? We're about, is it 22 days into it? And a further day, 30 days to bring the troops home. So there's going to happen. There's going to have to be a congressional vote after that one. And it's doubtful that he'd win it. I mean, almost every Democrat would be against it, and a few of the Republicans would be against it, you know. And if the Iranians, if they sink even one U.S. ship, that would be seen as a catastrophe for the United States Navy and the USA more broadly. The USA hasn't lost a ship in combat since 1945 or something like that. If there's a ground invasion, or even more likely, it's just some sort of incursion, some sort of raid to secure that enriched uranium, to destroy it or to bury it under thousands of tons of rubble, you know, inevitably some of the U.S. Marines will get killed, perhaps some will be captured, wounded or unwounded, and then they're hostages. And then they could be there for years. The Iranians realize the value of these hostages. They keep them alive. They knew the Americans would eventually give in a lot to get these people back. Or if the Israelis joined in, they know that Israel will release 100 people to get one of their own back. So he's making himself a hostage to fortune. So, yeah, I just think that they will be more dubious about intervening militarily elsewhere. He was too gung-ho, buoyed up by a seemingly cost-free success in Venezuela, thinking that Cuba was about to fall and so on, believed his own hype. So he was too hubristic, miscalculated, hey. Right, so thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then PayPal, George Cowan7 at gmail.com. Go ahead.